Turn with me in God's Word to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, dealing with some themes from 2 Corinthians. Of course, the major theme is the joy we have when we serve the Lord, even when we suffer. Not if we suffer, but when we suffer, the joy that we have when we serve the Lord. We're going to begin our reading at verse 12 and read through verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let us now give our careful attention to the reading and hearing God's most holy word. Hear now the word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. When I came to Troas to speak the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went to Macedonia. So it seems like a little bit of a roadblock there, but notice this contrast, incredible contrast. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, like so many others, peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. There is a lot here to unpack, with a great deal of anticipation that we now ask God to open His word to us. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You that Your Spirit inspired every word that we've read and heard together. But we would ask now that that Spirit would now take these words. Lord, help us to understand better what is before us. And then, Lord, may these words pierce our hearts so that we may align our lives with the truth of this word. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may or may not realize it, but everybody has an aroma, a distinctive aura of smell. Call it a signature if you'd like. Now, for some people, the aroma, it's a pleasing aroma. You know, you walk by some people, you're around them, you think, nice. I have this high school crush. I never asked her what perfume she is wearing. Matter of fact, we hardly spoke because I had this way with really good-looking girls of goobing out whenever I talked to them. So I could hardly converse with like, boo, 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 and I never was articulate. But this wonderful vision of a young lady, when she walked by, she smelled like copper-toned suntan lotion. And because of her personality, because of her looks, because of her aroma, because of her character, the boys at Hattiesburg High School were drawn to this young lady like flies to honey. On the other end of the spectrum, you've encountered some people who smell like sweat and body odor trapped in unwashed polyester clothing. They carry such an overpowering aroma of musky stank that you see flies dropping around them like flies when they flew over Aunt Bee's pickles. Back in the 80s, we had, when I was youth director at First Presbyterian Church of Hattiesburg, we'd have some foreign exchange students. And they were bright, they were nice, they were pretty, but a lot of them, they were strangers to deodorant. And so they had an aroma, a roll your windows down in the car when they're with you. Fact of the matter is, you have an aroma. I have an aroma. Everybody has, no exceptions. Now, same sense signature holds true for places as well as people. We all have memories, and mostly fond memories, of the aroma of our grandmother's home, our own homes. You know, some homes smell great. You walk in, they just smell so nice and clean. I used to work for Buxton's. We called it Buxton's in the Berg. We delivered and repossessed televisions, and sometimes we would deliver these very expensive home entertainment centers into these homes that were fresh and bright and aromatic in a good way. But I remember walking in this one house, and the smell was so rancid, we had to run out and take deep breaths. This house had, you've heard of halitosis, which is bad breath. This house had housetosis. The repossession was most unpleasant. Homes, buildings, cars, the beach, the forest, the park, the mountains. You're strolling along sidewalks of major cities. Everything has an aroma, and it's an aroma that sticks like Velcro in the mental scrapbook of your memories. That brings us to what's going on in these verses. For the people in the church in Corinth, one particular aroma stood out, highlighted boldface in their memories. It's an olfactory memory associated with an event. After a victory, after a conquest, the Roman army would march down the main street of Corinth. It was something called the triumphant procession. The victory parade included state officials, senators, chariots loaded with the spoils of victory, white bulls for sacrifices, people in chains taken captive, defeated princes, leaders, and generals on their way to prison and to execution. Then came the marching band, and just before you saw the winning general march by, right before that, here's what you would see. You would see priests in white robes swinging ornamental containers called censers. And inside those containers was strong, sweet-smelling incense. That was the smoke that was penetrating the parade route. The incense, smell of victory, no doubt burned itself into the collective consciousness of everyone witnessing these victory parades. Now, as Paul proclaims the joy of serving in Jesus' name, for the glory of God and for the good of the church, Paul illustrates the joy of ministry. Paul's a great preacher, great illustrator. He illustrates the joy of ministry by comparing our life journey to a Roman victory parade. We're announcing the best news ever. Jesus has conquered sin and death. One day, Jesus will defeat all his enemies. And after the final battle, Jesus will bring eternal life and the new heavens and new earth to everybody who surrenders their lives to Jesus. And that is good news. Our part in the victory parade is this. We, you and I, are the priests wearing the white robes, carrying the censers of sweet-smelling, burning incense. That's what he means. We carry the aroma of Christ, every one of us who claims to be a Christian. Translated, we are indeed the incense offered by Christ to God. That's our identity. Now, the question we need to answer from the text this morning is this. What are the characteristics that should identify us? What are the characteristics that should identify us since we are, says right here, the aroma of Christ? Notice in the first place, as the aroma of Jesus to the world, God calls us to be a pleasing aroma. That's the first characteristic. God calls us to be a pleasing aroma. Look at verse 14. It says, through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. The fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Fragrance, sweet odor, pleasing perfume. Like a good preacher, Paul's linking together a common experience in the lives of the people to whom he's writing. The aroma of incense of the Roman triumph parade. And he's comparing that to what? The Old Testament sacrifices to God. Let me give you just a few to jot down if you're taking notes. Noah in Genesis 8 offers up a sacrifice. The aroma was pleasing to God. Aaron in Leviticus in Exodus 28. In Leviticus 1:9, God's people offer up burnt sacrifices, and the sacrifices are described as an aroma pleasing to God. In the New Testament, Ephesians 5:2, Christ loved us. He gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So what does it mean for you and me to be a pleasing aroma? Well, the key to answering that question, let me read it to you, is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, listen now, to present your bodies, yourself, your whole self, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's the answer to the question, what does it mean to be a pleasing aroma? You may say, well, sacrifice, I give 10% to the church, like that's the standard for sacrificial giving. I give beyond that to Faith Promise. And by the way, you should do both. You should tithe to the church and you should give to Faith Promise. But somehow that qualifies you to acquire the status of a saint. And if we serve the church in some capacity, if we actually give some time to a mission project, hello, Hall of Fame, here I am. No, here's the sacrifice God requires of us. We are to crawl on the altar of sacrifice. We are. We are the sacrifice. All we are, all we have, all we do, we offer up, it is a sacrifice to God, and that's the problem. Dr. Howard Hendricks once said, the problem with a living sacrifice is that it keeps wanting to crawl off the altar. Let me give you a historical example of the kind of sacrifice God wants from us. During the Revolutionary War, when Boston was under British control, General George Washington consulted Congress on the advisability of bombing Boston. Washington especially wanted to hear from John Hancock because all the property that John Hancock owned was in Boston. If he bombed Boston, any bombing would pretty much leave John Hancock financially ruined. Here's Hancock's response, reading it directly. It is true, General Washington, all my property I possess in this world is in houses and other real estate in Boston. Listen to this next phrase. If, however, the liberties of our nation require that my properties be reduced to ashes, then issue the order to bomb immediately. Our sacrifice to the Lord is a pleasing aroma when we are willing to say from our hearts this morning, whatever the personal cost, whatever the Lord demands, whatever the Lord commands, my life, all my life, belongs to the Lord. Notice the second characteristic that should identify us as the aroma of Christ is this. Not only are we to be a pleasing aroma, but notice in the second place, God calls us to be a penetrating aroma. a pleasing aroma, and secondly, a penetrating aroma. Now in Corinth, if you attended one of these victory parades and returned home, people in the house knew you'd been at the parade because the fragrance of the incense penetrated your clothes. It lingered in your clothes. Have you noticed how smells cling to us? You may remember going into convenience stores pre-smoking, pre-non-smoking policies, and you come out, you smell like smoke. Same thing with older restaurants and bars. You stand by a fire grill, you grill out, you smell like smoke. Realtors talk about smokers' homes. Why? Because smoke penetrates and sticks on everything. When we leave a smoky place, we carry the aroma of smoke with us when we leave. Look at verse 14. Notice, Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us, notice that, through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Where? What does it say? Everywhere. Through us. Yes, we smell like smoke. But it's a sweet smoke of knowing the Lord, a filling everywhere we go with a fragrant, delightful smoke of God's love, God's grace revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you would, a gospel fragrance that we share everywhere we go. There's a couple of ways we can share the good news of the gospel. One way is this: we can share the good news visually. Visually. That is, when our lives communicate this message to the workaday world that's watching us every day. This message, hey, embracing the Lord Jesus Christ makes an enormous difference in my life, in my lifestyle choices. You talk to missionary after missionary, evangelist after evangelist, and you'll discover a pattern. And that's this: you go where the people are. You showcase your faith through your life, through your choices. You build relationships. And you serve people where God places you. Think about that. As you go, as you show, as you build, as you serve, you know what's going to happen? The Lord is going to open doors for you to share the gospel with other people. Here's the way one man put it to me one time. He was talking about an evangelist that he knew and loved. He said, and I quote, "He built a bridge of friendship with me, and Jesus walked across that bridge." Think about that. He built a bridge of friendship with me, and Jesus walked across that bridge. Friends, as we offer ourselves up as living sacrifices to the Lord, as we sacrificially serve others, our service to others, our relationship to others becomes a bridge that Jesus walks across into the lives of others. God wants us visually with our lives to share the gospel. But notice also, it's not just visual. Our witness is verbal. It's verbal. We show the gospel with our lives and we share the gospel with our lips. So it's not either or, it's both and. Or as Jerry Bridges put it one day, he said, someone asked Jerry Bridges, should evangelism be done with our lips or our lives? And he said, well, let me ask you this. Does a plane fly best with a left wing or a right wing? He says, well, it takes both. He says, there's your answer. Visually, verbal, we witness. We penetrate our neighborhood, our family, our workplace, our schools, our culture with the pleasing, penetrating aroma of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't overlook the verbal. Don't overlook. John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, heard the gospel from three Christian ladies. William Carey, the father of modern missions, came to Christ when a co-worker spoke the gospel to him. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon, you've heard this story before, came to know the Lord through a message of an unknown uneducated, inarticulate lay preacher. So we penetrate the world with the gospel through what we do and through what we say. Notice in the third place, as we identify ourselves as the aroma of Christ, third characteristic is this: we're not just to be pleasing and penetrating, but notice in the third place, God calls us to be a powerful aroma. A powerful aroma. You've noticed before, aromas have different effects on different people. Talked to a man one time, told me, he says, my cologne has a polarizing effect on people. He said, please explain. He says, my wife thinks it smells wonderful. She wants to snuggle and sniff my neck. But other people, Steve, have told me that my cologne smells like bug spray. You know, the kind that repels bugs and people as far away as possible. Same smell, different reactions. Look at verse 16. You see it. To one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Notice that. Think about it. To soldiers who fought and won, to the crowd welcoming soldiers home in a victory parade, the incense smelled like success, victory, winning, triumph. But to captives bound in chains, marching in the parade, the incense smelled like bitter defeat, humiliation, slavery, death. Friends, when we carry the aroma of Christ with us, pleasing the Lord, penetrating wherever we go, some people are going to receive our witness in a positive way. Other people are going to be absolutely repulsed by everything we represent. Don't you see that today? Some people there is more hate literature right now out toward Christians than ever I can remember in my lifetime. Some people, same message. Some people are repulsed. Our message doesn't change, but what we communicate with our lips and lives is either a healing message or a poison. Doesn't depend on us, it depends on the heart attitude of the people receiving our communication. Think about this, all of you. We won the state championship. If you're on the winning team, that is a joyful proclamation. If you're on the wrong side of the final score, that same message is going to hurt. It's going to hurt bad. It's going to invite anger. In Paul's days, Jewish rabbis described the Torah, the law of God. He said the law is an elixir of life to Israel, that is to God's people, but poison to the nations rejecting the law. In the New Testament, you see those same bipolar reactions to Jesus in the gospel. For people who respond in a positive way, Jesus reorients our lives. Jesus becomes the cornerstone of our faith. But to spiritually dead people, that's what we were before Christ, Ephesians 2:1. Spiritually dead people rejecting the gospel. Jesus is a stumbling stone, an irritating rock in their shoes. Wherever you go, you carry a significant fragrant signature with you. Think about that. You're to be a pleasing aroma, penetrating and powerful. Do you feel the weight of that? That's not what you should be, that's what you are. Do you feel sufficient for that? Me neither. That's why we move now to the fourth characteristic. We identify ourselves as the aroma of Christ on display, pleasing, powerful, pleasing, penetrating, powerful. Notice in the fourth place, God calls us to be a pure aroma. A pure aroma. Now you're thinking, huh? Now I really feel the weight. Well, I understand. How can I claim this spiritual fragrant signature is pure? I'm not. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I always will be a sinner saved by grace. Yes, I'm looking forward to the new heavens and new earth when I'm pure on the outside and the inside, but right now, pure would not be an adjective describing me. Well, lighten up a little bit, because pure doesn't mean perfect. Hear that. Pure doesn't mean perfect. Look at verse 17. For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word. Peddlers of God's word. Historically, here's what's happening. This is how you best understand this. Historically, dishonest wine merchants jacked up their profits. And here's how they did it. They mix water with wine, and then they told you, this is pure wine. That's a mix of water and wine. So what Paul is doing is that he's in applying this impure wine analogy to people in churches who watered down the pure wine of the gospel with another gospel. Another gospel making no demands of us. Another Jesus. A Jesus who's a masseuse, massaging our egos, not a master telling us the truth about ourselves. You know, we need to hear the truth about ourselves every day. We are great sinners whose only hope is found in a greater Savior. That's what we are, great sinners whose only hope is found in a greater Savior. But these Christianity light churches polluted the gospel. As I read this, I thought, some things never change, do they? Right now, today, this morning, in some churches, preachers are watering down gospel wine. I heard it just this week. Tickling our ears with pious, positive thinking ideas about how great we are and what an advantage it is for God to have us on His team. And of course you can have salvation without service. You can have Christ without commitment. You can have church without challenge. Just come in and get your weekly pump up. Friends, a watered down gospel has no power to shape us into people who represent Christ to the world. Think about it. Jesus Christ, He saved us from the penalty of sin. He's saving us from the power of sin. He will save us one day from the presence of sin. And we must never water down the truth revealed in Scripture that our salvation and our sanctification is dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't save ourselves. We don't sanctify ourselves. We don't clean up our own act. It's either all of Christ or it's nothing. Don't water down the gospel, whether it's the gospel of salvation or the gospel of sanctification. Back in 2019, Carol and I got to visit Rome. We saw roads where victorious generals marched. We saw where temples stood, where incense was burned in those temples. And I say burned because it's past tense. Great symbols of Roman culture now lie in ruins. Columns broken on the ground, marble peeled away, stone scattered. And great generals with great armies enter Kansas, dust in the wind. All they are is dust in the wind. And yet today, March 17, 2024, the triumphant procession, the victory of Christ and His church continues. Friends, you're invited to be part of that parade. You're invited to be the aroma of Christ penetrating this fallen and, quite frankly, stinky world. Will you march in general Jesus' victory parade? Will you? And what is your aroma? You got one, but what is it? Is it pleasing? Is it penetrating? Is it powerful? And is it pure? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the reminders we have over and over and over again of who we are in Christ. Lord, we don't often think about the fact that we have a spiritual aroma, but we do. Lord, help us, help our lives to be a pleasing aroma as we offer everything we have on the altar of sacrifice to you. Lord, may we, through our witness of our lives and through our speech to others, show what a penetrating aroma we are. Lord, help us to realize that our gospel message brings life, but it also brings death to those who reject the gospel. And Lord, help us not in any way, shape, form, or fashion to water down the gospel. It needs to be pure. Help us to be a pure aroma. And Lord, thank you for bringing us into this victory parade. Lord, we pray that we would march in this parade in triumph to victory and ultimately into the new heavens and new earth. Lord, thank you for telling us this morning what our identity is. Help us to live our lives according to this identity. Help this to be true of everyone here this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.